We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we continue our discussion of the subject, demon possession and exorcism. We appreciate very much your interest in this presentation of the truth. We're concerned about what the Bible teaches on this matter of occultism. Did the apostles accept demon possession as a reality in Bible times? They were involved in a work that related demons and evil spirits from time to time. Did they think evil spirits were real, or just a figment of man's imaginations, deeply rooted superstitions in the mind of the people of that age? If they thought them to be unreal, yet treated them as real, they seriously failed the people who looked to them for guidance in all divine truth. And the Lord promised them before He left this earth in John 16 that He would guide them into all the truth. If evil spirits were simply the same as illness or disease, and the apostles treated the people as being really possessed of demons, as Paul did, recorded in Acts 16, verses 16 through 18, then they utterly failed to be honest in their teaching and were deceitful workers. You could claim the apostles to have been deceitful apostles rather than faithful men of God. If they deceive the people in regard to evil spirits, who can place any confidence in anything they taught by apostolic testimony? My friends, the reality of demons or evil spirits is closely linked and absolutely connected with the integrity of the Bible. If the Scriptures fail us on this point, why trust the Bible on any subject? You know, there are at least 26 instances recorded in the New Testament that speak of demon possession. Demons are spoken of at least 80 times in the Bible. These instances recorded in the New Testament speak of the presence and the reality of demons in such a matter-of-fact language that their reality cannot be denied without denying the entire Bible. Beloved, are you listening? If any part of the Bible is in error, then there is not any of it that is reliable. The Bible is very clear in distinguishing demon possession from medical or psychiatric conditions. The Bible says in Matthew 4:24, "And the report of him went forth into all Syria. And they brought unto him all that were sick, holden with divers diseases and torments, possessed with demons, the epileptic, the palsied, and he healed them." In Matthew 8:16 we read, "And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick." In Matthew 10:8, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles on a limited commission and told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Hence, he made a clear distinction between their casting out demons and the healing of the sick and the cleansing of the lepers. Demon possession was a reality in Bible times. The Bible says that Jesus healed many that were sick with divers diseases and cast out many demons. Mark 1, verse 34. They were real, as recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5, as Jesus cast out an entire legion of demons and permitted the Austin demons to enter a herd of swine grazing nearby. Demons were real in Luke 8:2, for the Bible says, "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary that was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out." Surely, no one can deny the reality of demon possession in the New Testament and still accept the integrity of the Bible. Acceptance of the Bible means an acceptance of demon possession as being a real phenomena in the first century. What did demons do in the first century? They inhabited the bodies of people. In some cases, only one demon would inhabit one body. In other cases, such as the legion and the men recorded in Matthew 8, or the seven in Mary Magdalene, a number might inhabit one body. It seems fully evident that they strongly preferred bodily habitation to being without a body. This is strongly indicated in Matthew 12:43-45, where the Lord said, "But the unclean spirit, when he is gone out of the man, passeth through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becometh worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this evil generation. Demon possession turned the men of Matthew 8 into ravening maniacs, who wore no clothes, were exceedingly fierce, possessed superhuman strength, were dangerous both to themselves and to others as well, who frequented the tombs and deserted places. Sometime demon possession turned men blind and dumb and insane. A demon in Mark chapter 9 turned a little child into a most pathetic object. The child was dumb, frequently dashed himself to the ground, made him foam at the mouth, grind his teeth, and made him pine away. In Acts chapter 16, Paul met a maiden possessed with a spirit of divination who seemed to have the powers to foretell the future. From the many times demon-possessed people were brought to Christ and the apostle for expulsion, we must conclude that this was actually demon possession, a reality in Bible times. We have clearly established from biblical teaching that demons were real in the first century, and that they did inhabit people while Christ and the apostles were active on this earth. Now we turn our attention to the actual expulsion of demons in New Testament times. That is, exorcism by divine authority. We shall only have time for just a few to consider. In Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28, we read where Jesus expelled an unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue at Capernaum. The Bible says, "And straightway there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus the Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, tearing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching? With authority he commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And the report of him went out straightway, everywhere, in all the region of Galilee around about." In Mark chapter 5, Jesus commanded the legion of demons to depart from the man, and the Bible says the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, as we've already mentioned from Mark 5:13. This was a real case of real demon exorcism. Acts 5:16 relates that Peter cast out the demons of those that brought him to the city of Jerusalem. Paul cast out the spirit of divination of the Philippian maid recorded in Acts 16. In these two cases, we have real exorcism of demons. Real demons existed in those cases, and the real exorcism occurred. Why were demons permitted to enter and inhabit the people of the first century? I submit that this was done in order to show conclusively that Christ and the apostles had power over the devil and all unclean spirits who operated on his satanic team. Christ manifested his power and nature by walking on the water and stilling the great storm of the sea. He manifested his power over disease by healing a variety of infirmities. He manifested his power over the realm of the dead by raising certain ones from the dead. Evidently, there was need to demonstrate his power, the power of the apostles later, over Satan and evil spirits, by demonstrating once and for all that they were impotent to stand before the authority of Christ and the apostles. It frequently had that desired effect upon the people, for they often were amazed at the authority and the power of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, do we still have demon possession and exorcism today? Of course, if we have no demon possession today, then obviously we have no exorcism. I do not hesitate to state that we have no demon possession of human bodies today. Therefore, we have no exorcism today. We still have illnesses and disease and various mental disorders. But I've already shown that they're not the same as demon possessions. Jesus Christ came to strip Satan of all his powers in this area. Our Lord said in John 12:31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The apostle declared in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus died on Calvary, the Bible says that he despoiled the principalities and the powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2, verse 15. The ability of demons to enter humans and possess men has been destroyed. No doubt, the few cases of demon possession about which we read in the book of Acts were of the people already possessed of demons before Christ's final victory. Evidently, they were allowed in the closing stages of this phenomena to allow the apostles to show their great power in exorcism. My friends, demons no longer have the supernatural power to possess people. But that does not mean that Satan no longer has evil forces to destroy souls of men. Demons do exist today in a different way, that is, through false doctrines and deception. Such evil doers will remain on earth until our Lord comes again, at which time they will be cast into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus declared in Matthew 25:41, "You can be sure the devil has many demons working on his behalf today." Paul warns Christians to keep their guards up, declaring, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. In accepting this challenge, God's people are not sent forth today, as the Bible says, with authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, like they're the disciples, as you read about in Matthew 10, verse 1. Today, Christians are to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to fight the forces of Satan. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy that seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, will lead many away from the faith. Now you read that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. From these divine admonitions, it is therefore evident that demons operate today through false teachers, deceiving honest souls with false doctrines. My friends, the devil and his demons are experts at deception, and people who are easily carried away with mysticism and direct operation of the Holy Spirit are an easy prey. So many people seem to be looking for the unknown, the mysterious, the inexplainable. Today, Satan's demons are expert at deception through fake miracles, pretended signs and wonders. God will allow those who will not accept His Word, divine truth, to be deceived and to be deluded. Hear the apostle. Are you listening? Whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be judged or damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Be not deceived, my friends. The devil himself may be transformed into an angel of light. Listen to what the Bible says. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself fashioneth himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. I ask, which is worse, demons possessing the physical bodies of men, or demons possessing the souls of men? Think it over. If the devil may fashion himself into an angel of light, will he not be more effective in deceiving honest souls? The devil also goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the apostle declared in 1 Peter 5:8. Obviously, his presence may be well known as a roaring lion. Nevertheless, he devours his prey. What is the difference whether one is swallowed by the devil or one swallows the devil. Many honest and sincere souls swallow the false doctrines of demons as the devil presents his soul-destroying doctrines as an angel of light. Many accept the messengers of Satan as angels of light. Some of the most effective angels of light today are the false miracle performers, the false prophets, and deceitful workers. Don't forget, the Bible warns us against seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. Thousands upon thousands place their full trust and confidence in the angels of light as if they were angels of God. But my friends, the devil is the devil, even though he does fashion himself into the angel of light, like the Bible says. And don't forget, the devil and his angels will ultimately be cast into hell, our Lord declared. Oh, my friends, be not deceived by false apostles, false prophets, and deceitful workers, angels of Satan and demons of hell. My friends, the claim of demon possession and exorcism today bears no resemblance at all to that which we observe in the Bible. One religious leader, who claims to be a modern exorcist, described one man supposedly demon-possessed by saying that in one case, a possessed man's skin turned white as paper, his teeth became transparent, his eyes bulged with balls of flame, and fire issued from his mouth. Such as this is the basis for the movie The Exorcist, but it is not drawn from the Bible, you can be sure. The movie Exorcist, seen by multiplied millions, is supposedly based on a 1949 case of demon possession. My friends, as I describe the procedure of this presumed exorcism, please contrast it with the actual cases of exorcism which we have talked about in the Bible. This was the report of the 1949 case of a supposed demon possessed and the exorcism. Quote, "For 2 months the Jesuit assigned to the case submitted himself to a black fast of bread and water, and prepared his body and soul for the ordeal. He lost more than 40 pounds. The ceremony he employed more than 20 times was taken from the ritual Romanum and involves a series of prayers, psalms, and robust adjurations to the demon. These rites are accompanied by sprinkling of holy water, the placing of the priest's hand on the subject's forehead, and the constant presence of a crucifix." End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? What a sharp contrast with the manner in which Christ and the apostles cast forth demons with a few words. Beloved, did you know that the word exorcist appears only one time in the Scripture, and that is found in Acts 19:13? Here the term is used to discredit the deceitful exorcist who sought to expel demons by the use of magical incantations and rituals, even in the name of the Lord. The power to cast out demons along with other miraculous manifestations was given to selected individuals within the first century in order to confirm and proclaim the word of the living God. Hear these words of the Lord and the Spirit, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Mark 16:17-20. Observe, my friends, in the very same verse in which the Lord said, "They shall cast out demons," he also declared, "If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them." Really, if there is one today that can cast out a demon, would he not also be able to drink deadly poison and not be hurt? Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine a situation where God allows demons to possess human beings, but still does not allow miraculous power to cast out those demons? This would mean that a person may be forced to do evil without any escape or alternative. This is positively not true. The Spirit of God declared, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation make also the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it." 1 Corinthians 10:13. They are all brands of astrologists, which time would forbid discussion. There is the bioastrology, cosmic astrology, business astrology, natal astrology, face cream astrology, jewelry astrology, and yes, even astrological furniture and infant layettes. And of course, the ever popular horoscope astrology, even including horoscopes for your pet dogs and cats. Demon possession and exorcism did occur in New Testament times. Demon possession and exorcism do not occur today. This is another facet of the occult movement that is being played to the hilt by the misguided and deceiving teachers of religion. My friends, do not be misguided by these important and weighty matters. Look to your Bible and not to the occult teachers of our time. The Bible will lead you to heaven. Occultism will lead you